Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. We'll read two verses there in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. I'll read yet one other verse to you in John, chapter 14, verse number 6. You turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse number 8. I'll read John, chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 8, let's read it together. Ready? But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Now skip down to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 1 together. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Let's read this verse together. Ready? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And let's pray. Father, thank you for such a wonderful day here at our church. God, your presence was obvious again, and your presence is obvious again this evening. We stand before you needy, Lord. Though we have heard many hundreds and thousands of sermons, we still are sinful. We still need your help, and we need your power and your presence. Fill us with your power tonight. Fill our preacher with your power. May we listen intently. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read a verse to you. It's in John chapter 14, verse number 26. The Bible says that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We read three verses earlier, two of which are found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 8, God tells us that we ought to remember. We then see in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, God again reminds us to remember. Now, here in John chapter 14, verse number 26, the Bible says that God gave us the Holy Spirit and that he will help to bring things to our remembrance. Folks, God gave us a memory for a reason. I believe that now God wants to use our memory so that we can look back on what he has done for us, what he has done in our lives, and that's then to be used to encourage us. And remember, if God did something for you in the past, it means it's more than likely available now. And so God wants us to remember. Now the devil, he'll take our memory, and he has this way of taking what God gives us and God uses to help us. The devil will try to use it against us. Now the devil, he'll try to take your memory and get you looking back at the bad times and looking back at the tough times, looking back at the sour times. But let me tell you something. No, we need to learn from the tough times and the hard times. We need to learn from them. But God gave us a memory so we can look back and remember some of the wonderful things he's done for us. It's Thanksgiving weekend. This is not a Thanksgiving message per se. It wasn't planned that way. But I can tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, it seems so bleak. There's so many things about our country that seem negative in the future. Well, I think we have a wonderful future, folks. I know how this all turns out. We're going to go to heaven someday and get this whole mess over with. But we have a wonderful future. America, just so you know, one of these days America will be done away with. We're going... this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, I love America, and I thank God for America, but this is not our final place. This is not where we're going to spend eternity. We're just passing through. You look into the future, though, and you listen to the news, and everything's negative, negative, negative. Let me tell you something that'll encourage you. Every once in a while, look back. Look back at what God has done for you. Don't let the devil just drag up those negative past memories and get you down and depress you. Look back at what God has done. And the Bible says here in John 14, 26, that God gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can bring good things to our remembrance. You know, I think part of the problem is, folks, we don't remember like we ought to. It's an amazing thing. I feel for God. God can do something big in our life, and we will spend a moment, and we'll be excited about it, and we'll testify for a day or two. Then we forget about it. Boy, do you have any idea how God has been good to us? Have you any remembrance of the things that God has done for you? We need to remember. I wish that the Holy Spirit somehow tonight would help you to look back at a few of the things that God has done for you. And let those things encourage you. Let those things make you think, wow, God has been good to me. God has brought me thus far in my life. And God has watched out for me. And God has met my needs. And God has done some miraculous works in my life. Hey, let them also encourage you to know that if God worked in the past, God can work in the present. And God can work in the future. And so, I want us to remember some things this evening. I am going to maybe deliver this sermon a little bit by way of testimony, if I could. I'm going to remember a few things about my life. But I want you to. Hey, parents, let me tell you something. Some of you parents, from time to time, you know, I encourage you to have devotions with your family and spend the time in the Bible and testify and pray together. Hey, it'd be good for some of you parents to remember some of God's movement in your life so your kids could hear those stories. Your kids ought to hear mom and dad tell about what God's done in the past and what God's done for them. Hey, you need to pass some of that down from generation to generation. I'll tell you this. I hope to God that when I grow old and pass off the scene, that my children and my grandchildren can tell the stories that dad told and that granddad told. And I hope my kids can take from generation to generation the movement of God in my life and the movement of God in my family's life. We need to remember. You know something? We're just not like that, though. We don't remember what people have done for us, and we don't remember what God has done for us. And we somehow lose track of how God has spared us and God has done so many wonderful things. Hey, I'll tell you something that'll help you. When you're going through a tough time today, look back at the good times God gave you in the past, and it may help you just make it another day or another week. But I just call the sermon, remember. Remember. May I recommend to you, first of all, this evening, that you remember the time of your salvation. Remember your salvation experience. I'll read to you from 2 Timothy 1:12, where the Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let me tell you something. You need to remember the day of your salvation. Not everybody can remember that it was, you know, November the 29th of 2008. You may not remember an exact date, but you ought to remember the time of your salvation. I'll never forget it. I had someone that had shown me some things about salvation, and to be honest, they were trying to be soul winners. They didn't really know what they were doing. They had said to me, "Say this prayer real quick," and I won't go into it all, but I wasn't paying attention to what they were telling me. I was not serious about what I was doing. I prayed a little prayer. I didn't even know what was going on. And then they said to me, "You're saved." Now, I walked away from there. I didn't really even understand salvation. So I really didn't get born again. So I was going to church for a little while, and I was confused about salvation. Someone had tried to tell me some things about salvation, but I was not saved. I'd even gone out with the church doing some visiting. I'd gone visiting with the church, but I remember one Sunday night, just like this Sunday night, I was sitting in church, and the pastor said something about being sure that you're on your way to heaven. He used 2 Timothy 1:12, where the Bible says that you can know, I know that I'm saved, and I'm persuaded that he has saved me. And I remember that night, it occurred to me, Jeff Owens, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. Oh, brother, I was squirming. I was sitting there in my seat. I was a teenage boy, and I didn't respond in the invitation. It was a little confusing to me. We went through an altar call, and part of me wanted to go, and part of me didn't want to go. And I thought, what would people think? And I thought, I don't want to die and go to hell. And I am telling you, the pressure was on me internally. I knew I was not saved. I knew that little experience that I had. I didn't know what was going on. They didn't do that to me on purpose. I'm not sure they knew exactly how to win someone to Christ. But boy, that night at church, it was just as sure as it could be. I was not saved. If I died that night, I would have died and gone to hell. I went home that night. I went straight to my room. And I'm telling you, Brother Bajan, I was scared to death. I was convinced if I did not get saved, that I was going to die in the night. I was going to die and I was going to go to hell. Now, here's the thing. I've been in church. I had my own New Testament. I had marked all the scriptures on how to show someone how to be born again. I've gone out on the church's soul winning or visitation program. I've shown others the scriptures. I'm going to tell you, that night I got that Bible out. You talk about a serious soul winner. I was about to win the most important person in the world to Christ. You say, who was that? It's me. It was me. I said, I know exactly what to do. And I was petrified. I was going to go to hell. I got on my knees by my bed. I pulled out that New Testament. I took myself from step to step. I said, Jeff Owens, you're a sinner. I looked back and I said, you know I am. And I went through the scripture. I got to the point where I knew I needed to pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And I said, this is it. I am going to mean this from the depth of my soul. Every ounce of faith that I have available to me, I'm placing it in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get saved. And I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. Boy, I got up off my knees, and there are others that maybe they doubt their salvation from time to time in life, but I'm going to just tell you something. That night, I got up off my knees, and I have never doubted my salvation from that night. And I look back now, when I was a teenage boy to that night, I could tell you the story. I could tell you the story for 45 minutes. I could tell you what happened to me. I know that night I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have no doubt that I did what He told me to do. He's a God of His Word, and He saved me, and I'm saved, and I remember it. Now let me ask you something. Do you remember it? You remember it. I don't want to confuse anybody. You know the Bible very clearly teaches, once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't save yourself, and you don't keep yourself saved. He does the saving, He does the keeping. But every once in a while, someone will come to me, and they'll say to me, Preacher, my mom and dad tell me I was saved when I was 4, but I can't remember it. I can't remember it. This is what I say to them. I'll say, Mom and Dad can't remember it either. He said, what are you talking about? Well, I don't think that you can tell me for sure that I'm saved, and I don't think I can tell you for sure that you're saved. I think you got to know for you, and I got to know for me. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. You're not looking at a preacher that tries to make salvation confusing so we can get decisions around the church. No, I'm in this for real. I mean, hell's real, and heaven's real. I don't want anybody to doubt their salvation. But every once in a while, someone will tell me that they were very, very young, and somebody told them they got saved, but they don't remember it. They're not sure. I want you to be sure. If you can't remember it, I'd be careful taking chances. And I'm not telling you, you've got to know the exact day, and we don't have to be able to pinpoint it on an exact map, but you better be able to go to the occurrence and say, I remember when I was saved. Remember the time of your salvation. If you don't have any memory of it, I'd probably get me a memory tonight. I'd probably say, I'm not messing with this thing. I want to know. Hey, and boy, when you get down on your knees and you ask Jesus to save you, mean it with all your might, and He will save you, and then claim that night. You claim it, and you say, this is the night. This is the time I was saved. I'm never going to forget this. And so, remember the time of your salvation. May I recommend to you, secondly, this evening, that you remember the time of your spiritual decisions in life. remember some of those times of spiritual decision in your life. I'm going to read to you a familiar passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 12. Many of you have heard these verses over and over again. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, folks, we are to serve God with our lives, and we're to give our lives like a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ and to the cause of Christ. And I want to tell you, all of us make a series of spiritual decisions in life. You know, I'll tell you why some of us go back on our spiritual decisions is because we don't look back and remember what we told God we were going to do for Him. I think it'd be wise, I think somebody in here tonight, I think everybody in here tonight ought to think back to your salvation. You ought to take a moment and think, I remember it. Now, I say to you, after your salvation, you began to make some spiritual decisions. I would recommend to you that you remember some of those spiritual decisions. I remember this. I remember, now, I didn't get saved until I was 16. I grew up, and in my home, bad music was allowed. I grew up and listened to rock music from the time I was just a little runt. I got saved, I went to the church, and this preacher had the audacity to say that rock and roll music was of the devil. I thought, you nuts! What are you talking about? Elvis loved Jesus! I tell you, he made me mad. Boy, I kept listening to him, and I was glad I had a preacher with a backbone. I was glad I had a preacher who wasn't afraid to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and preach. And boy, he kept on hitting on this thing of bad music, and bad music, and bad music, and bad music. And boy, he hit it, and he preached it. And finally, the Lord got a hold of me and said, Jimbo, and Jimbo, he's telling the truth. Now get yourself right with God. And I remember the night that I walked down an old-fashioned aisle. I got on my knees at the altar and I said, God, this is it. I'm giving up the bad music and I'm going to listen to Christian music and that's all. I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget it. Because then I went home and the very next day I took all of my, I had albums. Record albums. You say, what's that? They're great big, they're black, they're flat. Looks like a CD on steroids. You go to the back of the Goodwill, and they call them antiques. I had some record albums. I even had some 8-track tapes and some cassette tapes, and I took them all, and I knew this about me. If I put them in a box and put them under my bed, they were going to come out, and I was going to listen to them again sometime. So I knew what needed to happen. We needed to say bye-bye to the bad stuff so it didn't tempt me. I went out. Now, where I grew up, we had a big old, everybody had a 50-gallon drum, an old oil drum they used as a trash can. And out back of my house, we had a trash can, and I took all my bad music. I was brilliant. I took all my bad music. I threw it in that 50-gallon drum. I took a can of gas with me. I poured the gas. I drifted. I was going to burn it for the Lord. I threw a match in there. I burnt all my rock and roll music and the hair off my arms and the hair off my face. And everybody knew I'd made a decision for God. But I still remember that decision to this day. Now you listen to me. There are people in this building, you made some decisions for God months ago, years ago, and you reneged on that decision. You need to remember back to you telling God you were going to do right. You go back to what you promised Him that you were going to do. I remember I would turn on my radio as I was trying to grow in the Lord. They had a radio program called the Old Time Gospel Hour. A man by the name of Dr. Lester Roloff. He would come on there. He'd have these girls begin to sing a cappella. Boy, I'd listen to him. I'd listen to him preach. He'd talk about his children's homes down in Corpus Christi, Texas. He'd talk about the old King James Bible and the old time gospel and the old time gospel way. That's the kind of church I was in, but it helped me to know there's somebody else out there like us. I thought, we've got to be the only kooks in the world that believe like this. Boy, when I started finding out there were others in us, listening to Dr. Oliver B. Green on the radio, I was listening to some old-time independent fundamental Baptists that had some grit in their crawl, weren't afraid to get up and preach, and I can remember sitting there with the radio one day and saying, this roll-off guy, I want to be like him. I have decided that's what I'm going to be. I can remember making that decision. I was going to be an old-time fundamental Baptist. I remember I was going to bleed in the old-time way. Now, there's some of you need to make that decision. But I made that decision. I've not forgotten it. I remember as I was learning the doctrines of the Bible, I remember hearing a man preach a sermon called Fresh Oil. I remember it was about the Holy Spirit of God and being anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. I'll never forget, as a young man, I decided, I want that. I want that. The Spirit of God that lives within me, I want Him to control me. I was called to preach in my middle teenage years, not long after I got saved. And I remember I had listened to this sermon about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I remember one night we had gone out soul winning at the church, and I showed up for soul winning. And if I remember this part of the story, it's not real clear to me. I showed up nobody came. Nobody came soul winning that night. Nobody showed up. And I remember that night that I couldn't get into the church. I remember kneeling down. Our church was out in the country, and I remember kneeling down at the front doors of the church. I'd been listening to preaching about the Holy Spirit of God. And I remember that night I knelt down at there's just a little poured cement patio right in the front of the church, and one great big old light on the front of the church out in the country. Nobody anywhere around. I remember that night I got out of my car and I went over to the front door of the church and kind of wiggled it. Couldn't get in. Nobody had shown up. And I got on my knees there. I started praying. And I said, Dear God, if I'm going to do this thing of being a Christian, I want to do it right. I'm not going to play around. I've been learning about your Holy Spirit. I don't understand all about Him, but I submit myself to Him. I want my life and I want my ministry to be anointed with Thy Spirit. I remember I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I do not have any idea how long I prayed. I was just an older teenager. I was on my face. I remember how uncomfortable it got on that old, hard cement. It started getting cold, and I remember I was there on my knees, and I remember wiggling around and trying to make it so I could be comfortable. I just kept praying, and I just kept praying about the Holy Spirit of God. I remember my body. I'm not an eerie or a spooky person, but I just felt like I was very, very hot. It started raining. I remember staying there in the rain, and I prayed and I prayed, and it just rained, and I could feel the water just dripping off of me. And I believe maybe, as a teenage boy, for the first time in my life, I knew that the Spirit of God was taking me over. And I always had a passion since I was a teenage boy. When I stood to preach the Word of God, I wanted to preach and I wanted to see that God was moving. I wanted to know I wasn't just throwing words out. I was not just entertaining people. I didn't want to take up 45 minutes of somebody's life just to get it over with. From that night, I had a passion and a desire. I made a decision. I wanted to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You listen to me, you too have made some decisions. And I want you to remember some of those decisions. There's man after man after man under the sound of my voice that made a decision that you would be a praying man and that you'd be a Bible-believing man and that you'd have a godly home. You need to remember back to those decisions. Some of you need to recommit to some decisions. You know, most of us don't need to make a bunch of new decisions. We just need to start living again the old decisions that we made. Remember the time of your salvation. Remember the times of your spiritual decision. Hey, maybe I know there are some new Christians. You've only been saved a week or two. If I were you, it's time for some of you to make some spiritual decisions and make you some memories. It's time for somebody in here tonight to say, that's it. I'm getting rid of the bad music, and you need to walk this aisle and make a memory that you'll never forget. Something that 10 years from now, you'll look back on and say, I remember that night. I decided I would pray every day of my life. I remember that night I made a decision to be a soul winner. Somebody needs to make a new memory. But some of us need to go back to some of the old decisions and remember what we had promised God. Not only that, I think you need to remember the miracles in your life. The miracles in your life. I'll read to you from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3. where the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I believe this. I believe that we have a prayer answering God and a powerful God. I believe that God can do miracles for us. And I think God does do miracles for us. I got an email the other day. I won't mention the last name, but I got an email from a young man that I won to Christ many years ago by the name of Dion. I was working on this sermon, and I remembered I had won Dion to Christ, him and his wife, with just a brand new married couple, and I won them to Christ and got them coming to Sunday school and church and helped them figure out some ideas about a job. And then they had, I remember when they had their first baby, and then another. I remember this. I remember Dion calling me one day, kind of a new convert. He called me, and he said, Brother Owens, he said, my baby's in the hospital. And we can't figure out what's wrong with the baby, and the baby's getting worse and worse. Can you come and visit at the hospital? And I went, and Dion and his wife were crying, and they said they just come in and told us that our baby's not going to live. And Dion said, if you don't pray, I don't know who's going to. And I thought, oh my. I walked over to the baby, and it was an intensive care for just wee little ones. I really knew very little what to do. I was just a young preacher, but I knew this. I knew that if anybody could save that baby's life, Jesus could. And I'm not eerie, and once again, I'm not one of those spooky Christians. You know, I'm not like that. Most of the Christian life is very, very practical, but God is a miracle-working God. I went over, and I placed my hand on that baby. I could hear Dion just bawling like a baby in the background. I didn't know what to say. I just said this. I said, Dear God, I pray that you'll spare this baby's life. Mama and Daddy are just learning to serve you. And I said, Lord, whatever the baby's sick of, I'd rather you give it to me than for that baby to die of its sickness. Please spare the baby. I got done praying. I left. They thought the baby would not make it through the night, but the baby did. And then another night, and then another, and then another. And I look back now and realize that maybe that night I watched God do a miracle. I watched God do a miracle. Dion told me about a week later. He said, Preacher, you feeling okay? I said, I am. He was worried about me. He was worried that somehow God had transferred something that was wrong with that baby to me. It wasn't the case. It might have been autism. It got transferred to Brother Nash, not me. But I'll never forget it. As a dumb, green, young preacher man, I called upon God, and He answered. I could talk from now till midnight and tell you story after story after story of God's miracle-working power. Some of you need to look back. You need to remember some of those times. There are people in this room, there were times when you needed God to do something big for you, and He did. But you've forgotten about it. And I say, remember it now. Let's never forget this last summer when we went to Washington, D.C. We surrounded the White House and went soul winning. In a matter of 3.5 hours, won over 1,600 people to Jesus Christ. What a miracle. What a miracle. Let's never forget it. I'm glad our children got to see something like that happen. But the Lord said, the Holy Spirit can bring some things to your remembrance. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring to our remembrance our salvation. And we need to remember it often. I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring some of our spiritual decisions to our remembrance. I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring some of the miracles that God has performed for us to our remembrance. I think that you and I ought to learn to remember our soul-winning experiences. You know, we believe that we're to tell others about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30 that the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I remember learning about the importance of soul-winning. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but it bears repeating tonight. I'd gotten a hold of a little booklet that's called Let's Go Soul Winning by Dr. Jack Hiles. And in it, it's about the old 30-some points or so, very practical, very, very simple, just point after point after point after point. I got a hold of that little booklet, and I realized I needed to start telling others about Christ, but I was not real sure what to do. Had a little red Gideon's New Testament. They used to give those out in the public school. Everybody get a King James Bible, a New Testament, and they'd give you one of those things. I had me a little red Gideon's New Testament that fit in my pocket. Then I had this little booklet called Let's Go Soul Winning, and I thought, I need to try this. I need to do this. So when I went to my public school, we had time where we could go to the library. And I had a pass to go to the library. I went down. I sat down in the most important section of the whole library. That was the sports section. I went over there, and I was getting out a magazine. I was going to look at it. And a kid by the name of Scotty Moore was sitting across from me. Now, Scotty and I, we went to school together. We were in the same grade, or maybe he was a grade behind me. And I was trying to get up the courage. I'm telling you, I was as nervous as could be because I was about to tell him about Jesus. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what do I do? What do I do? And I'd read through this little book that gave me all the practical tips and everything. Finally, I looked at Scotty, and I pulled out the two books, and I laid them on the table, and I said, Scotty, I've got this New Testament. This is the back end of the Bible. That's what I called it. This is the back end of the Bible. I said, and then I've got this little booklet that tells me how to tell someone how to be saved, but I need to practice this on somebody, and I'm wondering if you would let me tell you what this booklet in the New Testament talk to me, or tell me to do about someone going to heaven. I said, can I try that? Scotty said, yeah, okay. So I got this little booklet out. I opened it up, my brother Hiles. I got my New Testament out, and one of the things it said, you know, in the little booklet, it said, watch your breath. Make sure your breath is not bad. So I breathed on Scotty. He said, well, you're failing there, Jeff. We're not off to a good start. And in the little booklet, it says you ought to be soul conscious, and then it said you ought to compliment somebody before you start telling them about Jesus. I said, Scotty, nice t-shirt you got on there. He said, well, thank you very much. And I complimented him. Then the little booklet said, turn your Bible to Romans 3:10. And so Scotty and I are sitting by each other there in the public school. I never won anybody to Christ before in my life. I've got the little instructional book out. I've got my New Testament out. We're flipping through the Bible. Scotty's helping me flip through the pages. You know, I'm looking for Romans 3:10. He says, whoa, you passed it. So we turn back to it. I'm reading, and he's reading along. We go to Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. And then I'm going from verse to verse. I said, Scotty, the Bible teaches everybody's a sinner. I said, do you believe that? He said, I do. And I took him from point to point to point. There's a penalty for your sin, and that Jesus paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and resurrection. I took him to Romans chapter 10. We started reading it, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth and confession is made unto salvation. Finally, I said, Scotty, the next thing it says we ought to do is you ought to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. I said, Scotty, now let's do this for real. He said, I'm with you. I said, are you on your way to heaven? He said, no. I said, could I pray with you, Scotty? Would you trust Jesus as your Savior? I said, Scotty, I just want you to know, everyone's a sinner. He said, oh yes, everyone's a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. Jesus paid that penalty. Now I just need to pray and believe in my heart that Jesus will save me and ask him to forgive me. I said, you got it. Of course, he'd help me lead him to Christ. We did it with the little booklet. I didn't know what I was doing. He helped me to lead him to Christ. But I'll tell you this. Scotty and I bowed our heads. And Scotty prayed. He looked up. I said, Scotty, did you mean it? He said, oh, I meant it. I said, Scotty, according to the Bible, he said, I know. I can know for sure I'm saved, and I do. I remember that. Do you remember? Got any soul winning experiences you can remember? You say, no, I can't think of any. Maybe you need to get some. Maybe you need to get some. But somebody here needs to remember back. Hey, and tell your kids those stories. And tell your Sunday school class. And tell your bus route. Tell the people around you. Hey, remember when God saved somebody and used you as a tool. Hey, let me tell you something. If the only ones you can remember are 20 years ago, you're running behind a little. You should have been making some more current memories. Remember. Remember your salvation. Remember the times of spiritual decision and commitment. Remember the times that God worked miracles in your life. Remember your soul-winning experiences. I think it'd be good for us to remember some of the times when God has delivered us and spared us. I'll read to you some from Psalm 18, verse number 17. In Psalm 18, 17, the Bible says this, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." The Bible says here, in the next verse, it talks about times of calamity when God delivered the psalmist or David. You know, it would do all of us good if we would look back to the times when God delivered us, when God spared us, when God's mercy was upon us. Boy, I could tell you story after story. I remember I told you all the story this last year when I was flying and how we were in the midst of storms, and I called Mrs. Owens because I thought I was going to die. I remember that we finally, after trying to land at three different airports, we landed at an airport, and we didn't even get all the way down the runway when we ran out of gas. And I remember God sparing me that day. I remember when I was a young man, I was backslidden and been saved and had started to clean up my life, and I got to run around with a guy by the name of Tim. His last name was Holt. Tim and I, it was out, it was dark, it was late, we were out goofing off, we were, oh, an hour away from home. I was with some other friends, Tim and some of his friends that got to drinking. I was supposed to drive home, I was to ride home in Tim's car that night. I don't even know why it happened this way. I was saved. I knew not to be with those guys. I knew they were bad news. And I remember that night standing around with a bunch of people, and Tim said, "I'm leaving." I said, "Well, hurry home, but I'm not riding home with you. I'm going to stay with these guys." And I rode home with somebody else, but I'd gone over to that town with Tim. I was supposed to ride home with Tim. Had an old Ford Torino. I think it had a 390 engine, something like that in it. I remember him racing off and showing off to everybody as he shot down what was called Greenville Pike heading home. About 2 hours later, I was riding home with these other people, and there was a long, long line of cars backed up forever, it seemed. I remember getting out of the car and trying to step out and see what was going on down the road. Tim and his girlfriend, Sherry, had rolled their car about two or three times. They were both dead. I took Tim's head all the way off. And I remember as I walking forward, another carload or two of friends that were out goofing off with us, I remember a paramedic saying nobody could live through that accident. You know, I was supposed to be in that car. God spared me. And folks, there are many of you, if you'd remember, God spared you. There are people in here, they predicted you would die from your cancer, but you didn't. There are people in here, I want you to remember something. There are people in here, you've had heart surgeries. There was a time in America where you would die from heart problems. You couldn't undergo a two-way or a three-way or a four-way bypass. How many of you remember when that surgery was such new technology? It was just a miracle. God spared you. God spared you. You know, I think it'd be wise for all of us to remember God's deliverance in our life. We need to look back and say, "I remember when God delivered me." Some of you, if it were not for the grace and mercy of Almighty God, you could be in prison today. You could be in the grave today. You would be out of church today. You could be hooked on drugs today. But God delivered you. Hey, some of the homes that some of you grew up in, it's a miracle that you're not a drunkard and down at the rescue mission tonight. It ought to be good that everybody in the house tonight look back at what God's done for you and say, "I remember God delivered me. I remember God saved me. I remember God providing my needs and the miracles that God has performed in my life. I remember God allowing me to tell others about Jesus Christ and being a part of the process of getting somebody born again." Hey, I think when we get to heaven, I think we'll be able to remember all the wonderful things God did for us. don't think there'd be anything wrong, though, you and I, remembering tonight. Remember, the Bible says. Remember, young people. Remember, parents. Remember. Remember. And I think God has some wonderful things for our future. We'll have a chance to be involved and make some wonderful spiritual memories. God said there in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26, He said, I'm going to give you a Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance some things that will help you. Somebody in the privacy of your heart on the drive home tonight, you just need to remember, hey, there's some parents on the drive home tonight you got to share with your kids some memory of a spiritual magnificence. I think there'd be some kids that love to hear mom and dad's salvation experience. They've never heard. Let's remember. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Remember. The Bible says remember. Remember what God's done for you. Remember how God's provided your needs. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, why don't you come tonight and get it settled? I don't want anybody to doubt your salvation, but I want everybody to know that they have it. If you're not saved, you come. Somebody in here, you've been down, you've been depressed, and I'll tell you why. You say, well, God, I just don't feel like God blessed me this week. You look back a couple weeks ago. You look back and you'll remember some blessing of God, and it'll help. It'll encourage you. Somebody here needs to be reminded of some spiritual commitments that you made to God. I mean, you need to remember that you promised God you were going to stay in church and promised God, hey, some man here needs to remember you promised God you're going to be a family man. Remember when you came out of the party life and you said, that's it. I'm going to knock it off. I've got a wife. I'm going to get me some kids. And I'm going to rear them for God. You need to remember your spiritual commitment. Somebody here promised God you'd be a soul winner, but you've not been doing anything about it. Remember. Remember. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need this altar, you come. You come. They need to come down here, get on your face, and remember what God did for you. Somebody needs to remember the time that God spared you. You could have been. Remember. Remember, Christian. Remember the goodness of the Lord. Remember your time of salvation. Hey. Somebody here needs to remember the vows that you took and made in the wedding altar. You said for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. You remember that. Remember the promises you made. Some of you promised God, you found out you were going to have that baby. You promised God. You said, God, I'm going to rear my kids in the church. I'm going to rear them for you, God. You need to remember that promise that you made to God. We have a lot of military men in here. There are men that you were in battle. You ask God to save your life and you would serve Him. Don't you ever forget that promise. Don't you forget you promised God you'd serve Him. There are mamas in here, your babies were near death. You prayed, you said, God, salvage my baby and I'll give my baby to you. Don't you forget that promise, mama. It'd be good for some of you that used to be heavy-duty partiers. Somebody in here needs to promise God you'll serve God like you used to serve the devil. Some of you serve the devil like wildfire, and then you serve God, you just sit and watch. Well, how is it the devil got your energy in, and all God gets is leftovers? Somebody in here needs to make a spiritual decision that you'll give as much of you to God as you used to give of you to the devil. It's a spiritual memory. Remember. Remember. Choir, one more time for the song. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. You can have a seat there.